over.
Right. Definitely, if you think of the Inbodens today, throughout the day, afternoon, probably the next few weeks, pray for them, right? But we're going to be in Romans chapter 12 this morning. Definitely miss Pastor. So, Romans chapter 12. How many of you here have ever done something just super hard, right? Just can't. Like, maybe you look back at it and you think, how in the world did I get through that, right? Or, boy, if I ever would have known about that, I would have avoided it at all possible, right? We were hiking. I think it was maybe in April. Alyssa and I, there was a little bit of snow on the mountains. It was a beautiful day. It was warm out. We decided we were going to hike Mods Canyon, right? And what could possibly go wrong, right? It's a beautiful day. Things were drying out pretty nice, not really any snow on the ground. There was snow on the top, though, so as we got up there, it began to get slushy. Have any of you hiked Mods Canyon before? Art has? Anyway, it's a long trail, in a sense, and in my mind, I like to set out at one pace, and you just go that pace the whole time, right? You exert the same amount of energy. Maybe you slow down a little bit, but you're just putting out the same. There were a few times, needless to say, I had to stop and just catch my breath, right? I was trying to truck it up, but you can't truck up some things. So anyway, but I remember just feeling it in my legs and my body. I was just exhausted, right? And we got done. There was snow about this deep, and you're just tramping through it, and it was splashing everywhere. It was an experience, right? But you ever feel like in your life, sometimes that's just how it goes, right? You think, I just am going to go on this simple hike in life, something super simple. And it turns out you're walking through snow. It's splashing everywhere. It's a steep hill and you're just exhausted, right? And you think, I've gone on and on and on. And maybe that's how you feel in your Christian life sometimes, right? Sometimes I feel that way in my Christian life. I think I've just pushed on and I've tried and it's not happening. Right? What's the purpose of me living my life if I'm going to live it like this? Right? Just miserable. But this morning, I want to talk about or speak to you on the subject of living a victorious Christian life. Living a victorious Christian life. It's not always easy to live the Christian life, and I think each of us here could attest to that, right? We have good weeks. Sometimes it's easy to do it, right? Sometimes Liz and I will go up, there's a trail behind our house, and it's all paved, and it's nice. It's easy sailing, right? If we go walking, it's not that hard. You just walk, right? It just comes naturally. Sometimes our life is like that. And then other times, it's like Mods Canyon or worse, right? Bob, I'm sure, knows some even worse trails than that, right? It's some steep stuff. And in our lives, we go through big things, right? Things we wouldn't expect. You know, I would have never thought that my mom was going to pass away. That's something you don't expect, right? There's trials that we go through in our lives that you just think, wow, right? Didn't see that coming. But we have to resolve to go on throughout it, right? And we can think sometimes, Pastor's been talking about in Timothy, that we're to endure hardness as a good soldier, right? And it's important for us to muscle through things. It's just something that we do. But sometimes I think we just think, well, that's all that we have to do is just muscle through it, right? And we begin relying on our own strength. We just have to push through this. You know, it's going to be better next week, or it's going to be better tomorrow. And it doesn't get better, does it? Oftentimes it gets just harder and harder. But this morning, I want you to see what God would have for our Christian life, how he would have us to live it victoriously, no matter how hard it is. Let's read Romans chapter 12 here and verse 12. We're just going to look at one verse. We'll look at several verses, but mainly focus on this one verse. In verse 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much that you do have a victorious plan for our lives. Lord, you have something you want us to live, a way you want us to live, and you've shown it to us in your word over and over again. And I pray this morning you would just help your word to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that each one here, it would not be something that I say, just that your word would speak to us, Lord, and that you'd give us something that we can apply to our lives every day. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, I want to show you that you can and must live a victorious Christian life. You can and you must do that according to God's word. All right. So as we begin looking at this verse, we're going to begin at the first phrase is the first point here. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. You know, as Christians, there's things that we have hope for that the world around us does not have. right? Sometimes I think we get so focused on our lives and we get focused on the things that are going wrong, the things that we need, the things that are hard in our lives, that we forget about the hope that we have, right? There's hope in the Lord. Just a chapter over, or a couple chapters here, Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, right? It doesn't matter what's going on in my life, what hard thing may be going on. We serve a God of hope. Right? We truly do. You know, when we came to Mr. Hoagland's funeral, when he had accepted the Lord as a Savior, there was a great hope that he was in heaven, right? It was not something that we had to wonder about, but we knew that according to God's word, that he accepted Jesus into his heart, he was on his way to heaven, and he was in heaven at that point, right? And he is this morning. We have a hope that the world doesn't have, right? We truly do. We serve a God of hope. And because of that, this verse here in verse 13 says, "May it fill you with joy and peace in believing that," right? So oftentimes, I think we have this turmoil in our hearts. We think, why is life like this, right? Why do I have to just go to work the next day and the next day? And maybe it becomes monotonous. But God wants us to believe in the hope in him, right? That's why we're here, is because of our hope in the Lord. Our sole purpose for being here is to worship the Lord. Right? Our sole purpose is to bring glory to him. And because of that, we find that we can find joy and peace. Now, I'm not Joel Osteen here, you know, to tell you about the joy and peace that we can have in the Lord. And that's all that life is about, right? But the truth of it is, we do serve and we do have hope in our Lord and in our God. And because of that, we can have joy and peace in our life. When I'm struggling with something, when something is hard, when something comes up in life, I can go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, you are a God of hope." And in the end, if we're saved this morning, we're going to heaven, right? That's that great hope, right? We can go on through this life and it can be hard, but if one day we're going to be in heaven and there will be no trials, no tears, the Bible says. It's an amazing hope that we have, all right? In Psalms chapter 39, I'll read that to you. Psalms chapter 39 and verse 7. It says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for?" It says, "My hope is in thee." And if we go back and look at that chapter and read down through it, we find that David is in a hard place. If we read throughout Psalms, David comes upon many hard places, right? And David says, "What am I waiting for? What is my main reason? Why do I continue on in this race?" It's because my hope is in the Lord. This morning you say, why should I continue on in the Christian life? What does it do for me? What is the purpose of it? We find that we're waiting on the Lord because we find hope in him. Truly we do. There's great hope in the Lord. We cannot live in the discouraging things of life. We must remember where we are headed and why we are here, right? We're headed to heaven. When we think about, the hardest thing that could happen here, one day we're going to be in heaven, right? And it won't matter, truly. And not only that, but we have hope in the Lord. He gives us, he provides for our needs. He saved us, right? And we can worship him. And when we turn our focus off of the things that are going on in our life, and we're going to look a little bit in this verse about tribulations, but when things are going on in our lives and we turn our focus to the Lord, things are just completely different. There's hope, right? Truly, there is hope in the Lord. So we find that we're to be rejoicing in the hope of the Lord. But we get to the second part here, and it's patient in tribulation. All right. Now we read the word patience, and the Bible says, but people will tell you, don't pray for patience, right? But the word patience here literally means endurance. Okay, it means to press on, to continue on. Not only are we to be, it doesn't mean we're supposed to be relaxed and just kind of chill with the tribulations, right? It means we're to endure them, right? We're to press on throughout them. And we start out the verse rejoicing in hope. So when we're focusing on the hope of our Lord, it becomes easy to endure the trials, does it not? It becomes easy to endure the tribulations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think this is probably the most encouraging verse. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed and I think there's no way I can get through this, right? There's no way that whatever trial, whatever thing I'm going through, there's no way I can accomplish it. There's no way I can avoid it. I'm just going to fail, right? There's no way I can make it through this. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, when something hard comes up in my life, I have a decision of how to act on it. Right? I have a decision. I can either become bitter. I can become upset at the things that are going on. And think, why, God, have you put me through this? Right? What is going on in my life? Why? Like, what is this for? Right? I think it's not. There's no use to spend time in God's word. This is all pointless. Right? I can throw in the towel. Well, what's the reason? Or I can remember that with every temptation, whether it's a trial, whatever may happen, God has made a way for me to escape from it. He's not going to put something in my life that is too hard for me to not overcome with his help. Right? It doesn't matter what happens in my life. God has made it possible for me to overcome it with his help. He truly has. Every time you say this, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. This just seems impossible. God has already made a way of escape. He has. You say, what's the purpose of life? Can I even push through this? But we find that we can. All right, James chapter 1. You've probably read this. This kind of goes right along with our verse this morning in Romans chapter 12. This verse, as a child or as I was growing up, always confused me, right? How can James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." I thought, how in the world can I be joyful when I have to go through something, right? That just doesn't even make sense. But it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And this is the same word. The patience here also means endurance, all right? So the trying of my faith, when my faith is tried, it brings endurance, all right? "But let patience," or endurance, "have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So it's almost like we've talked about gold being tried in a fire, right? It brings out the impurities, and that's what the Bible says here that happens when we go through trials, all right? When we go through trials in our lives, it brings out the impurities, right? How many of you here, when something hard comes up, you immediately just want to be upset at the whole world, right? Sometimes I do that, right? I mean, for real, you're like, if somebody treats me wrong, I think, are you really going to do this to me, right? And then everybody else seems like they're got me cornered too, right? But we find that those impurities begin to come up towards the top because we're being tried, right? Those things that are in our lives. But we find that we're to endure that, right? If we are going through hard times in our lives and we're enduring this, we're enduring through the tribulation, and if we point our eyes to the Lord and remember the hope that we have in him, it all becomes a lot easier, does it not? Do you see why this was written in the Bible? It's important for us to do that. Exodus chapter 14. You probably know this story well. This was after the children of Israel had just gotten out of Egypt, right? Have you ever been in that place where it just feels like you're on a spiritual high, in a sense, right? It feels like everything's going right. You haven't seen the Lord work in maybe a while. Maybe that's how the Israelites felt. And then here they are. The Lord just has brought them out of Israel. Pharaoh said, get out of here, right? Just clear out and go. And then here they are, not but just a few hours later, the Egyptians are after them again. They're up against the Dead Sea. There's mountains on both sides. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. They look behind them. The Egyptians are behind them. Have you ever felt that way in your life? Right? It just anywhere you look, there's nowhere to turn, right? There's nowhere to go. And that's what we find is happening here. But in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, let's look at verse 13. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall never see them again, no more forever." Verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." You know, this morning we can get all overwhelmed by the things that are going on around us. We can get overwhelmed by the mountains that are perhaps on both sides, the sea that's in front of us that we can't swim across, the people that are maybe chasing down behind us. We can get so focused on those things that we forget that the Lord's still in control, is he not? You know, and here Moses reminds the people, he stills the people, and he says, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And when in our lives, when we begin to rejoice in the hope of our God, right? When we first of all do that, right? When we rejoice in the hope of our God and we come upon these tribulations and we turn our eyes and remember the hope of the Lord, the obstacles seem so small, do they not? They seem so small when we put God in front of them, right? Nothing is impossible with the Lord. I'm going to read you a story here. I don't know, many of you perhaps have heard of Stonewall Jackson, right? He was my favorite growing up. Everything was about Stonewall Jackson. I grew up in the South, right? And so, but I'm going to read you just a quick story here and just kind of how it can apply to our lives. But Thomas Jackson was one of the South's most successful generals during the American Civil War. And after a difficult childhood, he graduated from the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York, in time to fight the Mexican War. He then left the military to pursue a teaching career after his home state of Virginia seceded from the Union in 1861. Jackson joined the Confederate Army and quickly forged his reputation for fearlessness and tenacity during the Shenandoah Valley campaign after the same year. All right, so he was a great fighter, but he earned his name from one battle. All right. Jackson served only briefly as a colonel before receiving a promotion to brigadier general under General Joseph Johnson. Jackson earned his nickname at the First Battle of Bull Run, also known as Manassas, in July 1861. And the story goes that in this battle, all the soldiers that were around him began to flee, right? The Union troops were just too great, and they began to just run off, right? They were retreating as fast as they could. And one of the men turned around to look, and there was Jackson and his men, and they were just standing there, right? They weren't going anywhere. They had found a place behind, I don't remember if it was actually a stone wall, but they had decided they were going to stand right there, right? And the general looked at him, and as they rushed his troops forward to close a gap in the line against a determined Union attack, upon observing Jackson, one of his fellow generals reportedly said, "Look, men, there is Jackson standing like a stone wall." And that's where Jackson got his nickname, right? Stonewall Jackson, was because he was standing in battle when everybody else was running. And for us as Christians, when it comes down to our lives, right? When it comes down to the hard things that are going on in our lives and maybe the world would run from, right? The world would seek ways out of them, right? Whether it's maybe it's through drugs or alcohol, whatever it may be that the world would flee to, we find that we are to stand on God's word. Right? We're to rejoice in hope. We are to endure that tribulation. We're to press on, right? We're not to look at those that are around us and run with them, but we are to, even as Jackson did in the battle, we're to stand like a stone wall on God's word, right? We're to stand. We're to remember we can rejoice in God's hope, right? And then we can endure those tribulations because we do have hope in the Lord. Now, the fact of the matter is we can't do it on our own, all right? And that's why the verse doesn't end there. It's rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, but here's the important part, continuing instant in prayer. Now, if I was all alone, if I was by myself and there was nobody to talk to, there would be no reason to stand, would there? Would there be any reason for me to stand on God's word and say, I'm going to endure this tribulation? There's not, right? I would run just like anybody else and hide. Yet God wants me to stand on his word and to continue instant in prayer. All right, we were in James. If you're still there, we're going to look at it again. But James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." All right, so the Bible says it's important for us to endure these tribulations, right, or temptations. Verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom," immediately after this, right? So we're to be enduring this. "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So it's important for us, even here in James, it says, not only are we to be rejoicing in hope, right? We're excited because God's on our side, and what wonderful hope we have that one day we get to go to heaven. And we have hope in our Lord, right, just in general. We have wonderful hope in him. We're to be enduring these tribulations, but we're to constantly be communicating with our commander, right? We're to constantly be communicating with the Lord, continuing instant in prayer all the time. When the going gets tough, and sometimes I think, well, this is just really hard, and I like to go down crawling my hole, right? Poor Caleb, this is really bad, right? I don't know if you do that, maybe not verbally, but in our minds we kind of do, don't we? But the Bible says not only are we to endure it on our own, we're to continue instant in prayer. And instead of crawling down in our holes and hunkering down and maybe running from the problem, whatever your first thought is, maybe your thought is to charge it, right? I don't know. But we are to stand on God's word and continue instant in prayer, praying to him always, right? Lord, this is a hard time. You know, sometimes, just like in 1 Timothy, we think, well, we're to endure hardness as a good soldier, and we are. The Bible tells us we're to do that. But if you go to Psalms and Job, we find that when hard times come, that there's a lot of times that David would pray to the Lord, Lord, this is hard, right? Or Lord, my enemies are against me. Will you protect me? Will you save me? Not only was he to endure as a hard soldier, but he was to, there's a lot of feelings there, but also in the end, he would come back to the hope in the Lord, right? So we would find, if you read through some of the Psalms, and I enjoy going through the Psalms, but you would find that David would be in a hard place, right? He'd say, Lord, this is hard. I don't know why you're bringing me through this. And then he would pray, Lord, help me through this. And in the end, he would say, Lord, you are wonderful, right? Truly you are. You can help me through this. You're a wonderful God. And his focus came back to the Lord. And that's exactly what, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to rejoice in the hope of him, right? We're to be patient. We're to endure those tribulations. When it gets hard, we're to keep going, right? But not on our own strength. We're to pray to the Lord, right? We're to come to him. Lord, help me through this. But then when we see him work in great ways, Lord, you're wonderful, right? When we turn our eyes off of our own problems, off of our tribulations, and back on the Lord, it's a wonderful time, is it not? Sometimes I think, woe is me. This is just rough. Why does this have to happen to me? But when I remember who God is and that God is ultimately in control, and I focus my eyes back on the hope of the Lord, and I'm praying to him, Lord, help me, encourage me, show me these things. He does every time. And that's how we can endure in tribulation. That's how we can have patience through tribulation. We're to continue instant in prayer. We read it this morning, but Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it hard sometimes when we're enduring a trial, when something hard's going on in our lives, to let our minds just wander? Right? But the Bible here reminds us, he says, be careful for nothing. He says, don't worry about anything, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we bring our requests to the Lord. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When it gets hard, when we're trying to endure a trial, when we're trying to just push through in our own strength, we can't. It's just a fact. We won't be able to. We can fall by the wayside, right? If we're not going to rely on the Lord, we might as well just forget about him, right? What's the purpose? But if we will turn our eyes back to him, he wants us to rely on him. He wants us to pray to him, and we'll see him work in great ways. 2 Corinthians, why don't we turn here? This is the last verse to turn to. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I enjoy reading from the Apostle Paul because he was human just like all of us, right? And some of the things that he prayed for would be something maybe that I would pray for. Psalms or 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. He's talking about how he prayed to the Lord, all right? Verse 7, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure that the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So basically, something happened. We don't know what happened in Paul's life, but something happened that bothered Paul, right? There was a thorn in the flesh. Have you ever had some of those, right? Just thorns in the flesh. They hurt every time you move, you feel it, right? Every time you step on it or you pick up something with your finger and you have a thorn there, you feel it, right? And he goes on to say, it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So three times Paul prayed, he begged the Lord, take this away from me, Right? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the middle of a tribulation? Lord, take this away from me. Right? Just get this out of my life. I don't need this to happen in my life. But verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so here the Lord tells him back. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He says, "This is not a thorn that I'm going to remove from you." Right? This is something that you're going to have to deal with. He says, "But my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to help you through this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." How many of you here would say you're pretty weak when it comes to trials? If we're being honest, we're pretty weak, right? I mean, we want it done. We want it out of our lives. Maybe we pray more than 3 times to the Lord to take it away, right? Get it out of our lives. Yet the Lord says here, it says that his strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, when we are at the lowest point in our lives, when we are enduring a tribulation, when we have just pushed through and pushed through, maybe we've hit a wall and hit a wall and hit a wall, you're like, "Lord, would you please just take this away," right? The Bible says that his strength is made perfect in those times. Isn't that amazing this morning? How many of you here would love to see God's strength? I would love to see God's strength, right? I want to see God's strength in my own life. But the only way that that happens is through my weakness. Right? In my weakness, then we begin to see God's strength. It's amazing. So after the Lord told Paul this, verse 9, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Isn't that amazing? When Paul realized, he says, "I know this is hard. I know that this is going to be a hard thing for me to do." But when he realized that in his smallness, the Lord could be greater in his life, he said, "Lord, gladly will I bear this infirmity," right? "Gladly will I bear out this trial." And when we are in the hard times of life, right? And we think, "Why am I here? What's going on?" When we're at our lowest point, we find that God is at his greatest. We find that God is at his greatest when we're at our lowest points in our lives. And God wants us to endure, not on our own, right? We are to endure the tribulations with patience. We're to go on, we're to push forward, but also we're to rely on him and see him work in great ways. You know, this morning, God wants you to live a victorious life. He truly does. And as we read Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it's the full recipe, right, to be able to do it. He wants us to rejoice in hope. We're to remember who God is. Then we're to endure those tribulations, but we're not to do it on our own. We're to continue instant in prayer all the time. You know, this morning we were talking about in Sunday school how we're to go to the Lord in any time, pray without ceasing, in a constant state of prayer all the time. Lord, help me. Right? Or Lord, show me how to deal with this. Or Lord, this is just wonderful. Thank you so much. Right? Or God, maybe it's just, God, we adore you. Right? There's something great in our lives. But we're to constantly be in that state of prayer. And when we are in our lowest points, we're to be even more so. Even more so in communication with the Lord. Even more so. You know, sometimes if something's going on in my life, I want to talk more to, or if I'm having trouble with somebody, right, I want to talk to them more, right? In a sense, I want to know more how I can fix the problem, right? And if God is allowing things to happen in our lives that is hard for us, right, if it's making us weaker and weaker, then we need to be in more and more communication with him for him to show his strength in our lives, right? It should be our desire to show our strength. You know, my mom, I'd use my mom a lot, but she, when she found out that she had cancer, that she was going to pass away, all these things, when she was going through her whole sickness, there were many times that I don't know if I could respond how she did, truly. She said she didn't want us to remember her as being angry at God and mad at the things that were going on in her life. And she had just a wonderful attitude. Like the pain that she was in sometimes, there was, with her first tumor, all the lights were off, and like there, you couldn't even hardly step on the carpet without her head pounding, right? And almost for weeks it was like that before she had her first surgery. But in times like that, it was almost as if Job, but she never cursed God. She didn't. She never, maybe she questioned why, I don't know. But she never was upset at us, right? She just dealt with it, right? And many times she would say that God's grace was sufficient, truly. And in her weakness, God was great. And that's something, I've never been to that low of a point, right? My life or my body's never been attacked to that point. But in our lives, there's times that it feels like it, right? It feels like everything is just bad, right? Nothing could possibly go worse, it feels like, and then it does, right? But it's in those times that we have to show that we are the weakest, right? And that God has to work through our lives. He's the only one that can get us through this, right? He's the only one that can get us through our problems. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, tonight, or I mean this morning, can you live a victorious Christian life? You can. God's given us the recipe, and with his help, we can do it, right? But we have to decide this morning, we have to make a decision that we are going to put our hope in the Lord, that we are going to continue instant in him, and when, as soon as we do that, we find ourselves living a good life. A life that was pleasing to the Lord, a life that we find God's strength over and over again in our weakness. This morning, what is it that you're going through? What is it that is hard? What is it? Have you prayed to the Lord about it, right? Have you focused in on the hope that we have in him, right? It's a wonderful thing. All these things that we have, and we find that then we can live a victorious Christian life. Then we can have victory in him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, just for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you have saved us and for how you've worked in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to decide this morning to live a victorious life for you. Lord, just a wonderful, just a life that actually counts, Lord, that we would rely on you. And Father, we can look forward to seeing your strength in our weakness. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to just set aside our pride and everything that would seemingly make us strong, and just to seek after you and show ourselves weak to see your strength in our lives. Lord, help us to continue in prayer and see you in hope and just endure our tribulations. And we'll thank you for all these things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.